Please be seated. From today's gospel lesson, when the disciples heard what Jesus was saying, they said it was hard. Who can accept it? Jesus replied, "Does this offend you? Do you also wish to go away?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Jesus. Yes, in fact, I do wish to go away, if I'm totally honest. It has been a long 5 weeks, and I'm ready to move on. I'm ready for a break. Enough with the bread already." Actually, that wasn't Peter's response. That was mine. But the truth is, I am ready to move on from the bread discourse, the bread metaphors, the bread allegories, and the bread theology. I'm ready to leave this section of the Gospel of John. But in confessing that, I also realize that it's not my call. I could take the easy way out and I could preach on the letter to the Ephesians or on the Solomon story from 1 Kings. But I guess over the years I've realized that when I struggle with something, it's often where I think I'm called to focus my attention. So, bread it is, but not really. Because you see, if today's gospel reading didn't include the verses from last week's gospel reading, then bread wouldn't even be a topic of conversation today. So that ought to be a clue that something else is going on. So in trying to read this text anew, I couldn't get past a simple question that Jesus asks his followers. After all he's had to say to them, after all they've seen him do, Jesus asks, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you?" And I spent a lot of time with that question this week. I spent a lot of time with it because one of my great frustrations about where we are as a world, as a nation, as human beings, is that I think we actually enjoy being offended. In a weird way, I think we've become content, perhaps most content, when we find ourselves offended. You don't believe me? Just turn on the news. Look at Facebook or Twitter. Look at how gullible we've become. And I'm not just talking about politics, so don't go there, social issues, or even theology. I think we seem to enjoy being offended about everything. And I don't get it. Maybe it's just that it's easier for us to rant about what offends us. Somehow we prefer committing our time and our energies and passion to those things that offend us instead of the hard work of coherently verbalizing and celebrating what we stand for, what we believe in, and most importantly, where we find joy and meaning. And that is so terribly sad to me. It's sad because there really is still so much good in this world. And I don't have an answer as to why this is so. I struggle every single day to understand it. But maybe it's not as unique to our times as I'd like to think. Just look at today's gospel story. "Does this offend you?" Jesus wants to know. "Is what I have to say scandalous or a stumbling block to you?" And it's at this point where I wonder if we might be more apt to identify with the crowds that are following Jesus, some of whom want to leave. Because the truth is, what Jesus has been saying for the past 4 weeks is hard to understand and even hard to listen to. And some of those following Jesus had apparently had enough. But don't write these people off too soon, because John doesn't refer to the crowds as merely followers. He calls them disciples. They're the good guys. They're the believers. They're the people doing the right thing. They are very much us. And with all their waiting and watching and wondering and worrying, they've just gotten tired. They just can't see very clearly what it was about Jesus that attracted them in the first place. And who can blame them? "Eat my flesh, drink my blood, got two coats, give one away, love your enemies, Visit me in prison. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Who are we to judge? Blessed are the meek, the poor, the persecuted. Go into all the world. Treat others like you'd like to be treated. Take up your own cross and forgive me the way I forgive other people. Not my words, but the words of the one we claim to follow. And folks, those are offensive words to some, because that's not how the world works. And maybe that's the point. We can relate to that crowd a lot more than we might like to admit. Every one of us here has, at one time or another, wondered whether what we believed was in vain. During the dark of the night, watching and praying, or in the early morning, yearning for a new day, and instead just finding another one. We can understand these folks, sometimes weary, sometimes tired, and frequently frustrated with what is. They want to believe. They used to believe. They're trying to believe. But like so many over the ages, they've just gone through the motions for so long and finally given up. And so they leave. And Jesus even asks the rest of his crew if they want an out. Do you want to leave too? He asks them. And while we may like to scoff and make fun of Peter's bumbling throughout the Gospels, his words of response are to me some of the most precious words in all of Scripture. Lord, where would we go? Where would we go? What would your answer be? Where do you go when you're offended? We've all got an answer. Do you find the teachings of Jesus difficult or offensive? And it's okay to say yes. If you like being offended, you're going to love Jesus because he's been offending people for over 2,000 years. And if you're not offended, then maybe we've been handed that sweetened and condensed version of the gospel for way too long. If we simply view our discipleship as accepting Christ as a personal savior and friend, whatever that means, without any hide off our back investment, then we've missed the point. We've missed the point as much as those disciples did. That kind of discipleship might make us feel good, but discipleship is not something we dust off and use from one crisis of faith to another. It is a way of life that is so deeply connected and rooted to Christ that we literally consume him and are consumed by his love and his grace. We can no longer lay claim to the illusion that we control our own destiny, much less our own lives. And for some, that's more than they are willing to bear. But in the wise words of Peter, where else would we go? Peter at least understands that part. Because, my friends, no one else can offer the promises of Jesus. No other source can expect us to give our all in order to be all that we are created to be. No one on earth, no matter how well-intentioned, can offer the possibility of Christ. No one can offer the invitation to pull up a chair to a table of abundance, filled to overflowing with grace and mercy and compassion, a table where each of us is invited to gorge ourselves on forgiveness and acceptance in life, where we are welcomed into intimacy and relationship with God and with each other that is sometimes just simply beyond explanation. But be prepared, because it's a big table. So get ready to be offended. Yet if we let it, it is a table that can be set in love. If we let it, that love can change everything, even those things for which we take such offense. And while I can't say for sure, I imagine that it's a table with an ample supply of really good bread. God love you. Amen.